the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and goal!
So we are heading into week 11 of college football, which Matt and I cannot believe is happening. And that's Matt Brown, Sports on Earth's college football writer. And Matt, what the hell is going on? The first 2016 college football playoff ranking brought us Alabama number one, Clemson, Michigan, and then Texas A&M snuck in at number four, snubbing Washington. A lot of people thought it was a snub, but we quickly realized that strength of schedule means everything. There's a lot of controversy. But then week 10, the Aggies were upset by Mississippi State. So what, they weren't living up to the hype? I'm not sure. I'm going to get your take in a minute. But what do you expect to see with the committee's second round of rankings that's coming out on Tuesday night?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington is still fifth. We'll see. But there's a chance that Ohio State could jump Washington based on what we saw last week from the committee. Ohio State has one loss, but that loss is looking more forgivable to Penn State, who's playing really well, will probably be in the top 10 this week. And Ohio State just added a 59-point victory over Nebraska, who was in the top 10, will fall. But when you add that big win over Nebraska to their wins at Oklahoma, at Wisconsin, the fact that their loss isn't too bad, I wouldn't be shocked if the committee favored Ohio State over Washington just because of the strength schedule. But we'll see. You know, Texas A&M was up there partly because their only loss was to Alabama, the number one team in the country. But I think there will be a debate between, you know, Washington and Ohio State. But ultimately, you know, the message is the same for Washington. Keep winning out. Keep winning. Win out. Win the Pac-12. You're in, and there would be no doubt. But I'll be very curious to see how the committee handles that decision this week.
I guess when your only loss is to Alabama, that's not too shabby. But I think that a lot of heads were turned and were doing double takes when they saw that Washington came in at five. And speaking of Washington and the undefeateds, we've got Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Washington, and Western Michigan. But what I want to know, Matt, is there any way that Michigan is upset in Iowa City? They've got 80,000 Hawkeye fans at night screaming. I mean, could this be a loss for Michigan?
Before the season, I would have said this could be a place they could get tripped up. But Iowa just, something's been off. They're not playing well at all. I mean, Penn State has played very well. There's no shame in losing at Penn State this year. But, you know, Iowa was kind of a mess on Saturday. It was, you know, they lost 41-14. Could have been worse. And 30 rushing yards. So, at home in that atmosphere, maybe Michigan hasn't really played tough road games this year. But they just look like a team that, you know, they were overmatched by Penn State. I think they're going to be totally outmanned against Michigan, whose defensive line should dominate the game, who, you know, their Michigan's offense looked better. I have a hard time seeing Iowa pulling off that upset. I think, you know, if any team is in most danger of getting upset this week, it would probably be Washington at home against USC. I expect them to win the game, but, you know, USC has been improved ever since they made the switch from Max Brown to Sam Darnold at quarterback, and, you know, really talented team. You know, they've recruited really well, you know, struggled early in the season, but they're still a talented USC team that could give Washington some difficulty. So I think that is probably the best chance of one of the undefeateds falling this week. You know, is definitely a tricky road game based on the environment for Michigan, but they're just playing so well that it's hard to see them slipping up against an Iowa team that has not met expectations.
And Western Michigan, I feel like if you're a casual football fan, you may see that and think, how in the world, you know, are they undefeated? How do they stack up against the rest of the undefeated? So, you know, what do you like about this team? Why is it actually not that surprising that they are undefeated and playing so well?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit surprising to be undefeated, but they were projected to be one of the favorites for a major bowl bid this year. PJ Fleck, their head coach, really, really energetic, a unique guy who just is relentless as a recruiter. And they've recruited a lot better than pretty much the rest of the MAC over the past few years. And when he started there in 2013, they went 1-11, but then 8-5 the past 2 years. They had a lot of young players that were clearly talented. Their offense has been very good. But Corey Davis, their wide receiver, NFL fans should learn about now because he might be the number one receiver in the NFL draft. Had 260 yards last week against Ball State. So they're a team that just they really improved their talent level, had a couple really solid seasons, and now they have taken advantage and jumped out in the MAC this year. You know, they won two road games against Big Ten teams, against Northwestern and Illinois. They're kind of taking care of business in the MAC. Still have a tough game in a few weeks. They play Toledo, which is probably their only real chance to slip up down the stretch. But I think they will go undefeated, and they'll be deserving of that bid, of that major bowl bid, which will be the Cotton Bowl this year. So I would expect to see the Broncos there. A lot of talented players on offense. And P.J. Fleck also. Inevitably, this is what happens when to a team like Western Michigan, when they get good, they're inevitably going to lose their coach, because P.J. Fleck will be a hot commodity on the coaching carousel this year for sure.
Yeah, that actually is a really great point, and I forget that as well, that when the team does this team that it's not the big name, it's not in the big conference, but that head coach has every part to do with their success, as does with these undefeateds the quarterback, the guy who is leading the way. And we cannot go through this conversation without going back to the Heisman watch when we first talked a few months ago about who we should be looking out for. Lamar Jackson was definitely a name that we talked about. Deshaun Watson, Jabril Peppers, Jake Browning. I mean, you see these undefeated teams and you see that the Heismans are their quarterbacks. So, who do you like? Who's someone that maybe we should still be paying attention to that's not in the top caliber of these guys?
Lamar Jackson's still overwhelmingly the favorite. I mean, he almost slipped up at Virginia, where Louisville almost lost. But even that disappointing game, he still kind of had a Heisman moment where he led a big drive and threw a game-winning touchdown pass with 10 or 12 seconds left. So even at their worst moments, Jackson's still making big plays. And then this week against Boston College, they did what they had to do. They win by 45. He had 7 total touchdowns, which he's done that multiple times this year. So we're talking about a quarterback who was 6th in the country in rushing yards per game and 10th in, or I think he's 8th in passer rating. So he's in the top 10 in rushing, top 10 in passer rating. He's been the most dominant player in college football. I don't know how anybody could not have him at the top of the Heisman list right now. But, they almost lost to Virginia. Still time to slip up. Jake Browning from Washington right in that mix. He's just been incredibly efficient. He's a guy, if you go back and look up his high school numbers, he put up the most ridiculous high school numbers imaginable. He threw for over 90 touchdown passes as a senior in high school. Now, impossible to do that in college, but on pace right now, he would set the FBS single-season record for passer rating. He's thrown 34 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Really, really good, even though Washington is not a pass-happy team. He only throws 25 passes a game, but he's been terrific for an undefeated team. He'll be in that mix. Deshaun Watson's numbers early in the season weren't really Heisman numbers. He was kind of there in the conversation by default based on, the fact that Clemson's undefeated, the fact that they beat Louisville, the fact that he was a finalist last year. But his numbers have gotten better, and he's going to be in that mix. And unfortunately, he got hurt, missed the second half of the Syracuse game last week, but looks like he's going to be good to go going forward. So, he'll be in that mix. Jabril Peppers from Michigan plays every position. He's a linebacker, he's a cornerback, he's a safety, he's a pass rusher, he returns punts, returns kicks, plays receiver, wildcat, quarterback, running back, does everything well. And on a team that doesn't really have a signature player on offense, he's become kind of the face of the Michigan team. So I don't think he's going to win, but if he has a big couple touchdowns and big defensive plays in the Ohio State game, it's possible he could. No defensive player has won the Heisman since Charles Woodson from Michigan in 1997, which was Michigan's last national championship team. So maybe history can repeat itself. Those seem to be the guys who are separating themselves right now. I mean, Donnell Pumphrey, the running back from San Diego State, it's basically a record setter, has 1,500 yards in only 9 games. He could get some second and third place votes. I don't think he'd have enough to win. But, maybe they could get invited. But right now, to me, it seems like Jackson, Browning, Peppers, and perhaps Watson are the guys separating themselves the most.
And I want to go back to what you mentioned about defensive players and earning that Heisman Trophy. What does it take for someone who doesn't have the letters QB in front of their name to get this? I mean, it's been a while, and someone of his caliber, who deserves it. But doesn't have QB in front of his name. What does he have to do?
Peppers is doing what somebody needs to be done, what Charles Woodson did in 1987, which was Woodson, you know, was a star cornerback and a bunch of interceptions, but he also was return man, also played a kind of a starring role as a receiver. So he's on the field a lot, and it was kind of almost like a gimmick where, you know, he's a guy who, you know, has – they can keep track of how many positions he plays every week and how many different ways he's impacting the game. And that's basically what Peppers is doing, where I think he's already matched or surpassed Woodson's touchdown total from 1997. And, you know, to have a chance, I think Michigan needs to get him the ball a little bit more. They did it a lot against Michigan State last week, and that kind of bolstered his case. But, you know, he needs some more big plays on special teams and on offense to really have a chance. It's just, in most cases, I don't think a defender should win, but, I mean, 2009, for example, Nebraska's Ndamukong Suh was a finalist, didn't win.
Right.
I thought he should have won that year. He was the most dominant player in college football. Maybe in a different year, like, I think Peppers is a deserving candidate. There's a chance I could vote him number two even right now. I think there wouldn't be an argument for him to be above Lamar Jackson, though. I think Jackson's been the clear-cut Heisman winner through 10 weeks. But, you know, for Peppers, yeah, it's, you know, they've had a good PR campaign around him in terms of the number of positions he's playing and the fact that he's great at every position he plays. So when you add in Harbaugh's publicity and the publicity Michigan has gotten as an undefeated team kind of on the rise, that's what gives him a chance. But it's always a long shot for a defensive player.
So there's been a lot of storylines that you've been covering and following, and we were both talking about, I can't believe that it's week 11. I can't believe that it's November already. So what have been some of your favorite storylines? What have been some of the biggest surprises of this season so far?
One of the biggest surprises, if you go back, I wrote about this last week. If you go back and look at the preseason AP poll, I'm not sure how it shakes out this week exactly, but if you looked at last week's AP poll, last week's college football playoff rankings versus the preseason AP poll, teams ranked 8th through 18th. Only one of those teams was in the top 25. They were still in the top 25 that were in the preseason poll. You know, all these teams that ended up being disappointments, I mean, some of them are you know, under 500. When you look at Ole Miss, UCLA, Michigan State, Notre Dame, you know, a lot of teams have been, you know, we in the media got a lot wrong in the preseason. A lot of teams have kind of fallen flat on their face and been surprising. So, I mean, that's certainly been one of the major stories. You know, it seems like Michigan State, which I'm writing about for Tuesday, Notre Dame was a preseason top 10 team. We thought that Michigan State-Notre Dame game in week three was this big game. It turns out the two teams have a combined 5 wins and we're in November. So, you know, it's kind of been surprising to see teams like that have had recent success. You know, Ole Miss, Michigan State have been really good the past 3 years and are currently sitting under 500. So, you know, there's a lot we kind of got wrong. And the same thing, the Heisman race is kind of shaken out a lot different than we all thought, too. I mean, coming into the year, the talk was about how there were a lot of obvious candidates returning who were star players. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, a lot of guys kind of that caliber have not really met expectations. Their teams haven't met expectations. And the Heisman race hasn't been nearly as deep as we thought. There's just not a lot of great candidates this year. And Jackson, who was not off the radar, but was, you know, people were still unsure about him. It's just, you know, dominated the race from pretty much start to finish. So, you know, teams at the top, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, were pretty predictable preseason. But always goes to show, you know, the way this season's played out, that as sure as we are of things in August, we can never really know anything in this sport.
I think that's kind of the beauty of it, too, sometimes,
yeah.
Is that everyone, you know, on any given day, any team can win, and any player can surprise you with what they're going to do. And Lamar Jackson, I mean, I think that he's a fantastic story and as well. Matt, what else do we need to know? This weekend's game's not quite the full plate that everyone may be hoping for, but, you know, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, it is kind of a disappointing week, but whenever we – say that. Every year there seems to be a week in college football where we say there's no good games this week. And then all of a sudden three undefeated teams lose somehow. So
right.
You never know. I mean, there's important games for conference races. Clemson plays Pitt at home. If Clemson wins, they clinch the ACC Atlantic Division. You know, West Virginia, Texas, and Baylor, Oklahoma. Two big games for the Big 12 title. West Virginia and Oklahoma right at the top of that Big 12 race. You know, we've mentioned Michigan should beat Iowa. They're an overwhelming favorite. But, you know, they haven't played on the road much this year. They only played at Rutgers and at Michigan State so far. So, you know, it is a tricky road game to get ready for the Ohio State game in a couple of weeks. So we'll definitely be watching that. You know, Washington against USC. USC has looked good over the last month, and they're talented. So maybe they can challenge the Huskies on the road. So, and even Auburn at Georgia. If Auburn beats Georgia, the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama on Thanksgiving weekend will be for the SEC West title. So
no big deal.
Still a lot on the line. And, yeah, there's games this week that can make games in a couple weeks look even bigger. So not the greatest schedule, but it's college football in November, and there's always unpredictable things to happen. So I'll, of course, be watching from start to finish, and I imagine we will learn something and we'll be surprised by something this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. And obviously we look forward to everything that you're doing, and hopefully we get to talk to you in a few weeks, and some of these, you know, Heisman candidates will be narrowed down, and bowl games will be narrowed down. So I'm really excited to see what happens, and we really appreciate your time as always and your really hard work covering the craziness that is college football. So, Matt Brown, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now the 2-2. Well hit.